Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Christmas Eve, man. December 24th. It's a Tuesday. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. And here we are, week 17. Week 17. And of course, we get a crazy week 17 with two Wednesday games, a Thursday game, three Saturday games, a regular Sunday slate, and Monday night to round it all out. Oh boy. 5 days of football to round this thing out. So today on the podcast, I want to break down some of the injury information out there. There's not a ton out there, but I will go through the biggest situations. I'm still awaiting things like James Conner. We're going to talk about that, though, in terms of waivers, but I don't have any information on a lot of these situations, so we'll do the best we can here. I want to briefly talk about last night. And then I'll give you the top 10 waiver ads of the week. We'll talk a little waiver wire strategy today as well. FTNFantasy.com is the website. Yes, even tomorrow I will be updating everything like usual. I'm treating tomorrow like a regular game day. You know, yes, it's a holiday for me. Yes, I have to go to three different places in terms of families, but the laptop is coming along for the ride and I'll be updating just like we always do. So final rankings in roughly about 30 minutes before kickoff for both of those games. And as a reminder, everybody out there, those are the only rankings that matter. The initial rankings don't matter. The rankings on Friday don't matter. It's the final set that's roughly 30 minutes before kickoff. Those are the only rankings I use to set my starting lineups, and that's what I recommend everybody do out there. Okay, last night was a blowout. I mean, it reminded me kind of an NBA game, you know, where it's like the fourth quarter, it's a blowout, and none of the starters play, and you don't hit your overs, right? Have you not been there? I mean, I've certainly been there many times with betting in the NBA. It's rare in the NFL. It does happen. It's a matter of circumstance here for the New Orleans Saints. They're playing with a JV squad. You know, their quarterback is out. Their two top wide receivers are out. Their guy they picked up off the street, who was their new top receiver, was out. Their future potential Hall of Fame running back, I mean, Kamara, I know it's debatable, but he was out. Their offensive weapon, out. Like, the whole situation for the Saints was terrible. And the Packers did what they were supposed to do. And it was obvious to everybody there that the Saints weren't mounting a comeback. So, you don't play the starters, basically, in the second half. You know, to be fair, Josh Jacobs still ended up as RB12 for the week. Like, he was still fine. He wasn't elite, and some people were maybe looking for that. I find that a lot of times when people say they lose, they'll blame a certain player for a playoff loss, and then I'll look at their roster, and I'm like, oh, but you had this, this, and this, and you also faced this dude who blew up. Like, there are a lot of factors that go into it. I know, you know, the last game is the game that tends to stick for us. But the reality is, when we look at our rosters, there could be a whole bunch of different reasons that ultimately we lose. And maybe it's you fielded the best possible lineup you could. You just ran into a buzzsaw. You ran into Jonathan Taylor, or you ran into Jaden Daniels or whatever this week. And that happens. Justin Jefferson. It happens. It's just part of fantasy football, the part that we can't control. So really not much to take away from last night's game. So let's get into injury information for this week. The biggest stuff, and I'm not going to worry about tomorrow's games. You know, I wrote those up over at FTNFantasy.com. The report, it's my game-by-game breakdown. Those games are free this week, so you can go check it out even if you aren't a subscriber. One thing I will say about that before I actually get into the injuries, so Deontay Johnson was claimed by the Texans. I don't expect him to do much if he does dress for this game. Yeah, I really don't know. I don't get the whole Deontay Johnson saga this season. It's been so weird. Like, he fell into a great situation after he was on one of the worst teams in the league, right? He falls into this great situation with Baltimore, and who the heck knows what happened behind the scenes there? But now he falls into another decent, like, this is a playoff-bound team. I don't know. It's all weird, but there's no fantasy value to be had. So, all right, a couple players who we're keeping a close eye on. First one is Jalen Hurts, okay? Nick Sirianni said he's in concussion protocol. So, duh. I mean, obviously he's in concussion protocol. We knew that. And really, so he's just confirming something. And when a coach says that on a Monday or a Tuesday, a lot of times I will see panicky fantasy players panic over that. And it's just stating a fact that we already knew. The fact of the matter with Jalen Hurts is we don't know anything until Thursday. Now, maybe we find out tomorrow. If he goes limited tomorrow, giddy up. But I don't think that happens. I think he goes DNP. And you know what's going to happen. People are going to lose their minds, but it still doesn't matter. The practice that matters is Thursday. If we see him limited on Thursday, giddy up. If we see him DNP on Thursday, uh-oh. Now, again, doesn't completely rule him out, but he'd be really up against it. It's rare for a player to log back-to-back DNPs in concussion protocol and then still manage to play that week, like back-to-back in the first two practices. So that's what we are. Wait and see. Wait and see. Obviously, they need him because it was a huge drop-off to Kenny Pickett last week. Kenneth Walker, keeping a close eye on him. He went DNP on the estimated report. So it's an ankle issue now. He seemingly is always banged up in some way, shape, or form. The good news is we know what Zach Charbonnet can be without Kenneth Walker. Like, he can be a top 15 guy fairly easily. I have not done rankings yet. Like, I'm recording this podcast before noon on Tuesday to get it out of the way because I know people have a lot to do. So I want to get this up for you guys. I'll have rankings up this afternoon at ftnfantasy.com. But I imagine Charbonnet will come in that top 15 range if we get another DNP from Walker. I'll likely have that info before I get rankings up. And even if I don't, I'm going to come back and adjust. Like, rankings get updated like six different times on Tuesday after the initial because there's always more information coming out. So we'll keep a close eye on that. I don't have much optimism for Walker to play. And the thing about Charbonnet is he's not fairly widely available. He was a few weeks ago, but all of that changed, obviously, after his big performance a couple weeks back. And so you're not likely to be able to go out and pick him up. It's worth poking around tonight and seeing if he's there, but he's almost 80% rostered across ESPN and Yahoo right now. So I doubt he's available. Otherwise, David Njoku banged up again. Seemingly, this guy can't stay healthy. And we actually don't even know what they're going to do at quarterback. So Kevin Stefanski said he suffered a knee injury, did not give us any word in terms of the extent of the injury. But he also told us they're working through options this week if Dorian Thompson-Robinson can't play. So he hurt his calf in that game. If he can't play, Jameis could still be an option. Like, Jameis technically was injured last week, and I think he was the emergency third quarterback. But if Jameis Winston is back out there, it's actually a really good thing. It's not a good thing if you're a Browns fan, you know, but it is a really good thing for us because then all of a sudden Jerry Jeudy becomes back to relevant. Like, it's almost like you can't even trust him at all with Dorian Thompson-Robinson in there. So we're going to have to wait and see on that front, but we'll also have to wait and see the practice pattern for Njoku, but you're not safe if you have Njoku. Jalen Waddle, will he play this week? Obviously, he didn't play last week. We still aren't quite sure, but Mike McDaniel did not paint a favorable picture when he was asked about Waddle's practice status this week. He said, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. So probably not going to play. I wouldn't count on him. Not that many people are. The final name on the list for me here, and an interesting one, J.K. Dobbins designated to return. Now, I don't expect him to be activated this week. He may not even be activated next week. Like, this could be an angle towards the playoffs. You know, and you're the Chargers right now. You're in a great spot. You know, you're heading into this week 9-6, technically second place in your division after obviously a big win last week over Denver. You get one more win. You win this week, and it's a very winnable game against New England. You punch your ticket to the postseason. So we may not see Dobbins until the wild card round, but that's really good for the Chargers. They have not been able to generate any explosive plays in the run game with Gus Edwards and Kimani Vidal out there. The explosives came from Dobbins, and getting him back will be huge. This is a team that could be sneaky, like, you know, you win a wild card game or something like that. Like, technically right now, if the playoffs started today, they're the sixth seed. Denver is the seven. The sixth seed looks like, no matter what, almost, the sixth seed is going to play the winner of the AFC North. Because the Steelers are technically the three right now, but Baltimore, if they win the division, they'd be the three. I don't, in theory, I guess they could catch the Bills, but I don't even know what the tiebreak is there. So regardless, let's just call it that. You got to go to face one of those teams. But if there is a team who could beat Baltimore, for example, it could be the Chargers, right? They have a very winnable game over the Steelers. Like, they're a sneaky team to make a little bit of a run. Maybe it's just me, buying into the Chargers hype here. But regardless, that's something to look for. That is something to look for sure. All right. So here's what we're going to do. And by the way, to tie a bow on J.K. Dobbins, not worth picking him up. I really, really strongly doubt that we're going to see him on the field this week. If he was going to play, maybe there'd be something there, but I really doubt that's going to happen. Okay, so we're going to pay some bills real quick, and then we'll come back and break down the top 10 waiver ads for week 17. And we are back. The final waiver wire run of the 2024 fantasy football season. Wild. Here we are 17 weeks later, right? Look at us. Here we are. And this week is a unique week when it comes to waivers because, well, there are a few things, and I mentioned a little bit on the pod yesterday, but it bears repeating. You don't need handcuffs anymore. Like, obviously, if you're sitting there with Charbonnet, like, yes, you need him, or, we're going to talk about Trey Benson. But for example, like Blake Corum, you don't need him. Tyler Algier, you don't need him. You don't need those handcuffs anymore. If you had some piece of the Philly backfield, don't need him. Some piece of the Baltimore backfield, don't need him. Craig Reynolds, don't need him. Don't need any of these handcuff types. You just don't need them. Ray Davis, like, I'm trying to think through all of the possible needs. Braylon Allen, like, or whoever. You don't need any of those dudes, so you can drop them. And you can also drop guys who are like bench stashes, I guess, which I've really grown away from the bench stash idea when it isn't like a implied value running back. I just don't see much value to rostering like Elijah Moore. You know what I mean? Like, even throughout the entire season, like, I just don't see it. And some people use their benches for guys like that who will never start for them. Like, it's a waste of a bench spot. But like, let's say you have Elijah Moore. Okay, you don't need him. And your opponent isn't going to benefit from you dropping any of these guys. So why are we dropping them all? We're not just dropping them for the sake of dropping them. We're dropping them to put up blockers for our opponents. Now, blocking is a strategy that is not foolproof. It's not guaranteed to work 100% of the time. And I had a couple folks on social media here saying, yeah, I put up the blocker and it still didn't work. Like, some dude was like, I picked up Brenton Strange because my opponent needed a tight end. And my opponent then picked up Chigakonkwo and used him. So would have been better to just leave Strange out there. Yeah, it doesn't work all the time, but it does work. It certainly does work. And one area where I think it works the most maybe this week is at team defense. Now, if your opponent has had a team defense kind of locked in and they just use them, okay, well, you're not going to be able to block them at team defense. But if they're a streamer, oh, I would go out and pick up several defenses. There's nothing wrong with that this week because next week doesn't matter. Next week doesn't matter. So I would definitely be doing as much as I possibly could to block my opponent. I'm going to look at their roster tonight. I'm going to study it. What do they need? Where are their weak spots? Do they have any? Now, they may not have any, in which case blocking really doesn't matter. But if they have some weak spots, well, if they're weak at wide receiver, go out and pick up as many of the wide receivers who are viable this week as you can. Or maybe it's running back, or maybe they need a streaming quarterback, or whatever it might be, put the blocker up. Because this is when we play the game. It's such a weird thing. I talked about this on my SiriusXM show today. We play the game before the game actually starts, and that's our involvement in the game. It's so weird. Like, we're playing the game right now. We're evaluating our start-sit decisions. We're evaluating what we're going to do on waivers. We're trying to use strategy against our opponents. But once the ball is in the air, especially on Sunday at 1 o'clock, once we hit lineup lock, kickoff, we don't do anything. We don't play the game anymore. We just watch the game unfold before us, right? Which is so unique in most games. Anyway, play the game tonight. Play the game against your opponent. And there's no reason to hold on to, there's no such thing as a stash. There's no such thing as rest of season. All of that is done right now. Also, your fab money, no longer has value after this week. So don't be afraid to spend it, you know, and you're going to find this week I have five guys who are 50 to 100%. If I had anybody, let's say it's week two, you know, first waiver run of the year, first big one, and I had a guy 50 to 100%, that is a holy crap guy. That is like, you know, you found the holy grail on waiver wire, and that would be rare. And that means like, wow, this dude is, you know, quote unquote league winner. In week 17, when I have 50 to 100%, that is not what we're talking about. They're just simply the best options out there. And, you know, you may want to get them instead of your opponent getting them. So we do have five running backs this week, none of whom are better than flex plays, but they're all 50 to 100%. Let's start with Tajay Spears. I don't love Tajay Spears, but we have a couple things working for us. He has been increasing in terms of his productivity in recent weeks. So that is good. The last 2 weeks in particular. And it's probably directly related to the status, the health status of Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard is banged up. And so Spears is getting a little bit more work. It's not a bad matchup. I could see him very much being a flex play or maybe even a fringe wide receiver too. You know, he could be in that spot. I'm not going to get, you know, too far out over my skis on this one, but that's about where I am with Tajay Spears. Now, if you were to tell me James Conner is not playing and Trey Benson is playing, he would be by far my number one ad this week. But you can't tell me that. And I can't tell you that. We don't know James Conner's status. And I honestly, I wish I could push this podcast back today, but I realize a lot of folks who listen to the show, you might have stuff doing, you know, to do today. You know, I realize even if you don't celebrate Christmas, you might have a lot going on right now anyway. So I wanted to get out as early as possible. I have no info. I have no info. I wish I did, but I don't have any info on Conner. I also don't have any info on Trey Benson. So here's what we know. Conner hurt his knee. Trey Benson was out last week. Amari DiMercato is on injured reserve, so he's not even an option. So if Benson didn't go and Conner didn't go, we'd be looking at Michael Carter, which good luck. Let your opponent pick him up as far as I'm concerned. I don't want anything to do with that one. So that's the challenge. We're kind of flying blind a little bit. Maybe you have a little bit more information tonight by that point. And in which case, by the way, if I get that information, I will be updating the waiver wire tool over at ftnfantasy.com. So any information, I change things up and make sure that it is as updated as possible for tonight to put those waiver claims in. And by the way, no need to wake up at 3 a.m. Like you're not competing against the entire league. I still think that's a silly strategy regardless, but definitely not tonight. Use the darn waiver priority. You've been saving it all season long. All right. So after that, and again, we're flying blind, but it's okay to pick him up. And hey, if it falls flat, it falls flat, but you got to shoot the shots, right? You're going to miss every shot you don't take. Jalen Warren he's available in enough leagues. He will be very likely flex worthy. I don't think he sees 19 touches and out snaps Najee Harris again this week, but he is at least in the mix here. Obviously, it's a quick turnaround for that one, being that we have the game tomorrow. But he's been, you know, he's been one of those guys, offers a decent enough floor, a little bit of pop with him. And if they fall really far behind, then he'll see a lot of work. But I think it's going to actually be a relatively close game. Gus Edwards is the fourth guy on the list. Again, I'm not worried about J.K. Dobbins this week. Gus Edwards, the problem with him, though, is he offers almost no ceiling. He's not going to be involved in the passing game. He's not going to get explosive runs. So really, we're banking on touchdowns. Now, the nice thing is when they get down there, if they're inside the five, like on the goal line, he's going to get the work. Like they're not giving that to Vidal. But the problem is they got to get down there, and you can't always guarantee that, right? He scored twice last week, but you can't always guarantee it. Finally, Alexander Mattison. And yeah, he is the fifth option of this group. He's Alexander Mattison, but he did score last week. He had 16 touches. And honestly, the weird thing here, and I feel for the Raiders fans because I think they're going to win again. Like they played themselves out of the number one pick. Like you had Shedeur Sanders in your lap and now you don't. And honestly, I could see them beating the Saints, right? So if that happens, I don't know where the tie break goes. I don't think they actually move that much because they're already in the sixth spot. So if they beat New Orleans, they will, there will be, right now there are three teams with four wins, Carolina, the Jets, and Chicago. They're still all top 10 picks, but they could move back even further, which would be wild. But yeah, Madison is not super sexy. He should get the rock enough, and I actually do prefer him over Amir Abdul. I'll talk about him in a second. All right, now we're going to bump it down just a little bit, go to 25 to 50% on Patrick Taylor. I don't know Garendo's status. Again, that's another one where I don't have an injury update, but here's what I can tell you. Last week was not good, but he played every offensive snap. They did not use any other running backs. So Izzy Abanikanda wasn't used. And Keyshawn Vaughn was used in special teams, but no offensive snaps. So at least you have that. San Francisco's out of the playoffs, whatever, but he would get a lot of work if Garendo doesn't go. So he'd at least be in the flex conversation. And yes, he's the fifth string running back for a reason. We saw that reason this past week. But at least there'd still be touches, there'd still be opportunity, and stranger things have happened than the fifth string running back for the San Francisco 49ers popping off like a top 20 week. After that, just three wideouts, I think, who are widely available who could potentially help you or your opponents out. The three are Adam Thielen, Josh Downs, and Jalen McMillan. I prefer them in that order. I mean, Adam Thielen has a decent floor, so he's going to be a wide receiver three this week. That's an interesting game as well. Like, they're heavy underdogs to Tampa, but Carolina's not bad. And, you know, wouldn't that be something for Canales to come along? Like, if Tampa loses here, like, that's massive for them in terms of their playoff chances. But wouldn't that be like Canales to come along to his old team, play the spoiler? That would be so good. But and sorry, Bucks fans. Like, I do like the Bucks, but I also like chaos. Anyway, Thielen, he's been decent since coming back from injury. And a lot of it has to do with Bryce playing better, but all of it adds up to Thielen being a wide receiver three. As far as Josh Downs is concerned, he is the only receiver who seems to kind of be immune to Anthony Richardson, which credit where credit's due. Like, shout out Josh Downs. Scored a touchdown last week. He's available in 40% of ESPN leagues, 35% of Yahoo leagues. So he's out there in enough leagues. He will be at least a flex play. Speaking of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jalen McMillan, four touchdowns in his last three games. The rookie has started to figure it out. You can tell Baker Mayfield loves throwing him the football, you know, and it helped with Cade Otton being banged up. But, you know, they're going to force feed Mike Evans. Sure. Of course they are. But who's the next man to get targets is Jalen McMillan right now. And he's earning them. Like, it's not like, well, they're just going to force the ball to him. No, he's doing a nice job with the work he's seeing. I love this for the Washington product. I love it for Dynasty because I have this dude in some Dynasty rosters. But definitely trending up here. I mentioned Amir Abdullah. Like, I only have him at like 15 to 30%, which is saying something this week where if you were a good running back option, I'd be spending it all on you. He is heavily involved in the passing game. Yes, he scored last week. Yes, but the problem is that Madison still figures to have the touches. And if they do what I think they're going to do and win, then Madison will lead the backfield. Abdullah could still be a flex play, like a little bit of a Hail Mary. But otherwise, this one really just sets up more for Madison than it does for Abdullah. I can tell you right now that Madison's going to be ranked ahead. I'll give you one bonus one here because I realized I didn't have a tight end. The tight end to go out and get if he's available is Dalton Schultz. I don't love his ceiling, but I do really like his floor in this game for tomorrow. The reason being Tank Dell not there, right? So you have Nico Collins and then what? Robert Woods? Xavier Hutchinson, I don't think they see a lot of work. Maybe Woods has a couple catches, sure. But the next target is Dalton Schultz. And especially when they're in the red area of the field, we know that Stroud loves to look for him. End zone target-wise, he scored last week. I do think he's a little bit busier this week, and I do think he's very much a top 12 play. And sometimes that's all that matters in a week like this. You know, you get a top 12 play in there. Your opponent might even have like a regular weekly starter and they run into a buzzsaw, like a Kelsey or something like that runs into a buzzsaw down week. And then boom, you beat them at the position. And that's what it's all about. Got to beat our opponent at each of those positions. We do that. It's an easy game, right? It's an easy game. All right. So for the schedule, yes, updating everything at ftnfantasy.com throughout the week. Doesn't matter. I don't care if it's a holiday. It's like the post office, man. Rain, sleet, snow, Christmas Day games. I don't care. I'm always delivering. So we got that going on. I will not have a FTN Fantasy Football podcast tomorrow, though. So my run on that for this season is over. We'll see what we do with that in the off season. But Mike Randall will still do his recap show, which will be in your feeds on Monday. For this feed, though, I'm back on Thursday. You know, back on Thursday, then Friday, the big preview. Then next week will be a little abridged, but we get to talk a little looking back and looking forward, and I love that time of year anyway. So Merry Christmas, if you happen to celebrate. If not, happy holidays. I hope it is. I hope Santa brings you some fantasy points on Christmas Day and you enjoy all of that. Really happy to be here. You know, I always think about how grateful I am to do this job. Like, this is a gift that keeps on giving year round, and love doing that with you guys. So hopefully it helps you along the way here. Hopefully you dominate these fantasy football matchups, and let's ship some leagues, baby. Let's ship these leagues. Let's hoist some trophies. All right. All right. Keep hitting me up on social media, on Twitter/X. I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe. On Instagram, apparently a while ago, my wife said, "You're never going to get to 10,000 followers." And she used the word never, right? I apparently have about 350 to go to get to 10,000 on Instagram. So there's that. And I'll tell you this, if I get to 10,000, I'm going to start doing more on Instagram. I realize I don't do that much on there, but I want to hear from you anyway. What do you want me to do on Instagram? I know you don't want goofy pictures. So we'll figure that out. That's a 2025 project, but follow me there too. And on Blue Sky at Jeff Ratcliffe. Okay, that does it. I'm back on Thursday. Do it to it. Enjoy it all. And we'll get back to it on Thursday. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.